Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Light beer, Diet Cola, the Vancouver Canucks. It's hard for him to decide which one he hates the most. This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, you know what? That was perfect last night. I'm going to give Toronto a round of applause here. I'm going to give Raptors fans a round of applause here. I took a lot of grief on Twitter last night because after Vince Carter's little video tribute, of course, Vince Carter gets in the court, touches the ball, and everybody boos. And I pointed out on Twitter and I said, hey, good times don't ever change Toronto. And immediately people were, there's the media telling us how to act. You guys missed the point. I actually wasn't being sarcastic for once. Maybe I have to send out apologetic tweets. I like the way last night was handled by everybody. I like the tribute to Vince Carter. I talked about that yesterday. I wrote about it in sportsnet.ca. Had to be done. It was a big turning the page moment for this franchise. And you know what? I have no problem if Vince gets booed every time he touches the ball. Once that tribute's over, you're just another out-of-town guy trying to kick my ass. But I thought that was really well done last night. The timing was perfect. The earlier in the game, the better. You wouldn't want to be doing that with 2 minutes left in the game and the score tied or something like that and set it up for Vince to come in and hit a three-pointer. It was absolutely perfect. The tribute was great. You saw Vince Carter move the tears. And as I said earlier today, it isn't going to change the way Vince Carter and the Raptors divorced. That's not changing. That's done. You can't undo things that happened there. You can't unsay things that were said there. But all you have to do is take a look down the hallway at the Air Canada Center. And you'll see a team that still to this day hasn't figured out exactly how to handle its history, how to relate to its history. I am a big believer in this. I'm a big believer that organizations grow up when they learn how to handle the highlights of their past and the lowlights. And I'm not saying you necessarily celebrate the lowlights, but you deal with it. And you know what? I thought last night, Toronto, Raptors fans, Raptors ownership, Raptors management, I thought they dealt with it last night. They dealt with something that needed to be dealt with. I thought it was really well done. And then, of course, the Raptors go out and win that game 96-92. And I'm telling you, if you haven't, it's not my job to sell tickets. And frankly, the Raptors don't really need much help selling tickets right now. That was a sellout last night. Despite the weather, most of the people made it. Almost all the people made it. Almost all the high rollers made it. The Raptors have become destination viewing. And I'm telling you right now, if you get a chance, I don't care if you have to beg, borrow, or steal a ticket. Well, don't steal a ticket. But if you have a chance, get out there and watch this team play. It is a lot of fun. It's everything you've wanted in a Toronto sports team. And I don't know how long it's going to go. I'm not saying they're going to go on and win the championship, but right now, they're the second or third best team in the NBA at worst. Paul Jones is our Raptors radio analyst in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And I may have overstated the case second or third best team in the NBA at worst. I may have overstated that a bit. But, Paul, before we get to that stuff, do you like my nickname for Chuck Hayes, the Stifle Man? Hey, get it?
Nickname for who?
Chuck Hayes, the Stifle Man. You know, you had the Rifle Man, Chuck Person, and
Yeah, well, that was there was a real rifleman in the NBA who played for the Pacers, a guy named Chuck Person.
Yeah, that's but so you're not with me on the stifling.
No, I'm not.
Okay,
I
Travis told me you would be. Travis lied.
I will say this. Don't ever listen to Travis. Don't ever listen to the guy behind the glass.
Should be behind
Chuck
bars.
Chuck Hayes did that for years. That's why he's still in the league. Jeff Van Gundy, when Yao Ming was hurt in Houston and they had those big guys to guard, they would send him in there at 6'6 and put the glove on him. Like, hey, Hayes, get in there, shut him down. And that was huge because what it allowed Toronto to do, and Memphis had been killing them all night on dribble penetration. The screen roll defense was not good. It allowed Memphis to get into the lane, and they changed it later on and started a harder show and forced the ball handler to go back the other way towards center. But what Chuck Hayes allowed them to do was all of a sudden play one-on-one. So I'm going to guard this guy, and the rest of you guys look after your own. We don't have to double-team, get into rotations. It made for better balance for box-outs. Look at what happened in the fourth quarter. They hold them to, 4 of 14, 3 turnovers? And now Toronto starts pushing the ball, and they start moving the ball. They had the 6 assists on their 10 field goals, 10 of 20 in the quarter, and it all came from the defensive end. You can't play a team like Memphis 5-on-5 the whole game. That's how they grind teams down. And I just thought the Chuck Hayes move, and for all those people that jump up and down about numbers, look at the numbers, because there were no numbers of impact there. There weren't. But what Chuck Hayes did allowed Toronto to change the game, and it was a brilliant move by Dwayne Casey. Brilliant.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Now, we'll say this about the Grizzlies. The Raptors beat them 96-92. They were without Tony Allen. They had a lot of guys suffering from the flu and hydration. Five of them, to be exact.
So as I said to all the people in the poor man's broadcast booth known as Twitter, do they put an asterisk beside that win at the end of the year? No. And that's, you know what, like, and on all these people, like, oh, the schedule. The schedule is what it is. It is what it is.
I want those people to pay us a visit, Paul, when it's in December and they play, 43 games on the road.
Right.
I want to hear from those people then.
Thank you. And Jeff, as I said, you play those games, you play the team in front of you, and it doesn't matter if they're hurt or whatever. They all count. So, you know, don't say, well, they're playing an easy schedule. Well, if they lost to those teams that were, quote, on the easy schedule, and this is pro sports. There are no scrubs. Teams can come and beat you in any sport on any day. Mm. And if you don't beat those teams, people would be all over you. Well, they can't even beat X or they can't even beat Y. Well, when they win, take it for what it is. It's a win.
We will take your calls at 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Want to ask you about that Vince Carter tribute last night. I thought it was well done all around. I want to get the callers taking that. Paul, you were down there. I just thought that was just splendid. That really was. That was just a cool moment. I can't describe it as anything else.
Jeff, I was in Indiana the night Vince was traded. I saw him about an hour before I heard about the deal at the front desk at the hotel, sending off his Christmas presents by FedEx or ground transport or whatever. And I also sat two rows in front of him on the plane ride back. And it was surreal. Here's a guy that had been traded and he was sitting two rows behind me, and he sat and talked with Jalen Rose the whole time. And, having known Vince from the time he got here, we talked about it. And he did not want to be traded. No, he made some mistakes. So did the organization. And people are like, well, you know, Vince should apologize. Well, you know what? The organization's not apologizing either. There's lots of blame to go around, as you said.
Exactly.
Both sides made mistake. And your analogy is the same one that I used on NBA TV Canada. It's like a divorce between two parents that can't work it out, but they keep going their separate ways and keep the kid in mind. And the kid, who is the franchise, has grown up and is doing well now in spite of the way the parents almost tried to screw it up with their relationship. And that's what's happening right now. And I'll tell you this, and I spoke to Vince's mom this summer. He still loves Toronto. And that tribute last night moved him to tears because he feels something for the city. He doesn't like the way it ended. Nobody liked the way it ended. And Jeff, go and find me somewhere in pro sports where it ends the way everybody wants.
Oh, absolutely. It seldom ends. It seldom ends smoothly. It really doesn't.
Never. And Toronto fans need to get over it. It's part of what happens. It's life and it's sports and it is the business side of things. And we don't know what other, what other things were going. I mean, the fact that Vince went to Sam Mitchell and Rob Babcock and said, don't trade me. It's okay. I'll come off the bench. We're having issues with some of the players on the team. I'll come off the bench, play with a different unit until, we're able to work this out or we sit and talk. And they could have gone back on the trade if they wanted to. And, you know, I guess the honor in Rob Babcock saying, no, we've made the deal, and they went through with it. But, like, ridiculous. I mean, when would you ever trade a franchise player? Those guys don't come along and you had one and you gave them up. That being said, the tribute was well done, Jeff. I really think, I really think that Vince deserves to be recognized for the contribution he made to basketball in this city and in this country. And people say, oh, yeah, they would have survived without. They might have. But the eyeballs that he brought from the States, and, I talked to Sean Respert, one of the assistants last night with Memphis that was here in the first
two
years.
It's a great shooter, college.
Great shooter at Michigan State.
Yeah.
And he was from Detroit. He said, oh, I knew about Toronto. I knew how great it was. He said, even today I took the walk down from the hotel down towards the Dome. Because these guys all talk about Toronto, but once they get here, they love it. And it was no different for Vince.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. The Raptors have today off. They will play the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow night. Another strong defensive team, another strong defensive challenge for this Raptors team. And Paul, Dwayne Casey was asked a question last night in the post-game news conference that was a question I liked and frankly I wished I'd kind of asked. And I'll credit Dwayne because it was, I think it, it ruffled him a little bit because I think he was feeling pretty good. He should feel good about the outcome of the game and, you know, Chuck Hayes' contributions. But he was asked about Jonas Valanciunas and whether or not the fact that Jonas, well, for not the first time this year, was kind of an afterthought in a game against a team that likes to throw their weight around and, you know, likes to get in and get involved in the hurly-burly of the game, whether or not we should be concerned that Jonas wasn't a main player down the stretch in that game. And, you know, his point was, well, what about Chuck Hayes? But I've got to ask you, I think we're both Jonas fans, and I would really like him to do well, but are you seeing enough progress from Jonas at this stage of the year?
It's still early.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see more, but everybody's on a different timetable. And you know, the fans got spoiled last year, Jeff. They got spoiled last year because Toronto pulled off the rare double in sports, and that's winning and developing.
Mm-hmm.
And usually one goes at the expense of the other. If you're winning, young players have to sit and watch because the coach is winning, the team's winning, they want to keep it going, and there's no time to have a guy learning on the job. Or you're developing, which is short for I'm getting my head bashed in, but I'm learning how to play, and I'm learning valuable lessons that are going to help me later. Toronto did both of those last year, and now they're more, the needle is bent more towards the winning side than it is the development side. So guys like Terrence Ross, who is, you know, terrible for three quarters and came alive in the fourth quarter, and Jonas, they may have to, with the depth and the expectations raised on the team, they may have to take a step back and sit and sacrifice some of their development for winning. And that's what happened last night. Look, Randolph, Gasol, they're veterans, and they understand how to play, and it's a style they play. And Jonas just wasn't up to the task consistently last night. That doesn't mean they don't need him. Look at the way he played in the playoffs last year for the first three, four games. So I just think he's on a different timetable right now, Jeff. And as Dwayne Casey basically was saying, you can't force it. If it's not working, you put somebody else in because the expectations are right now we're trying to win. This is not 2-3 years ago when they were 23 and 43 and it's okay, throw the young guys out there, let them, quote, develop. Now they're past that right now. They've turned the light on. They've started to win. They've got different expectations. The fans have different expectations. So, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Leave him out there? And if he's wallowing and screwing up and making mistakes and you're losing the game, people jump up and down and say, why did you leave him in there? He was playing terrible. So I just think he's on a different timetable right now, Jeff, and he's got to sit, watch video, get in the gym, get through practice, and it'll come. It's just maybe not coming as fast as people want it to.
Mr. Jones, I appreciate you doing this today.
No problem, Jeff.
Let's keep the roll going. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Paul Jones, Raptors radio analyst and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Again, the Raps have tonight off. Tomorrow they've got the Milwaukee Bucks. Pretty good defensive team. It'll be another good challenge for the Toronto Raptors. 96-92 winners over the Memphis Grizzlies last night. Tonight, the ACC is turned over to the other tenants. I'll stop this, I promise. Tonight, the Tampa Bay Lightning are in to play the Maple Leafs. We'll have that game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 7 bells with the pregame show. Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne. Then Mr. Joe Bowen and Mr. Jim Ralph will have the call of the game. Puck drop at 7:30 as the Tampa Bay Lightning take on your Toronto Maple Leafs. We've got Thursday night football at 7:30 p.m. in Sportsnet Ontario. Kansas City against the Oakland Raiders. I don't know why they just don't blow up that whole franchise. I mean, Oakland's just a mess. They're 0-10. And there'll be a crap load of curling in Sportsnet Ontario as well today. And Rogers NHL Game Center Live, as always. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games tonight. The St. Louis Blues at the Montreal Canadiens is 7:30. My Chicago Blackhawks at your Calgary Flames at 9 o'clock, and then the Anaheim Ducks and the Vancouver Canucks at 10 p.m. Those are the Canadian teams in action. Oh, I forgot the Ottawa Senators. They get to play the Nashville Predators. Nashville, of course, coming off their 9-2 win over the Leafs a couple of nights ago. So, the Vince Carter stuff is done. The page has been turned. I thought it was done well. I thought everybody acquitted themselves well. And now Toronto, finally, you can move on from Vince Carter. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. So is that it? Is the book closed on Vince Carter? What did you make of the tribute last night? What did you make of Vince's reaction to the tribute last night? And it's a big moment for this franchise. You celebrated the past. The future delivered, the present delivered. That was perfect. You couldn't draw it up any better. Joey in Toronto, you're on the Jeff Blair Show. Was that done perfectly last night? And can we now say, Joey, you and I, and Raptors fans, and listeners, can we now say that the book is closed? We've made peace with everybody.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, get over it, people. Like, we've had so little to be happy about and celebrate in this city. Forget the Raptors. Look at our other crap teams. And the Raptors, they've won one playoff series in 20 years. And, hey, who was the guy who, you know, basically carried us to that playoff series win? Vince. And the guy for a few years was just probably the most exciting athlete I've seen in my 36 years on this earth. He was unbelievable, arguably the best player in the league and probably the most exciting player in the league. And, yeah, of course, it didn't end well. But let's not forget, how old was he, like 24, 25 when he left? He was immature. He was young. And let's also not forget that the Raptors screwed up at least as much as he did, if not more, in the way they handled him and the way they handled his exit. So I think fans need to get over it. I was just as bitter as everyone else. But you know what? Like, we moved on. And Vince has shown remorse. And he's shown, I think, sincere remorse and sincere emotion last night. And you know what, like, we got to stop being so bitter in this city about, you know, people leaving. Like, are we gonna hate Chris Bosh because he left? And you know what I mean, like, these are all, if I was in Vince's shoes, to be honest, I probably would have demanded a trade too, the way things were going. So I'm happy they did a good job with the tribute. They've been known to fumble these things in the past. They did a good job. The Raptors are great. Everything's good. Let's just enjoy things while they last.
That's the way I look at it, too. Amen. That's exactly how I'm looking at this. Look, I'm having fun going to these games. And it appears as if everybody else is as well. You know, at some point we'll have to deal with big, weighty, heavy issues with the Raptors as the season goes on. There will come a time where the conversation will be, all right, how far do they go in the playoffs? Can they beat the Bulls? can they beat the Cavs? But right now, I'm just enjoying this, and I'm enjoying figuring out how they're going to win each night, and I'm enjoying trying to make sense of why they lose each night. And that's what following a team is all about. And I've said it several times this year, and I've written it as well. It's a team that I think I described them as embraceable. I don't know about that. That might have been a little over the top. But it's a team that is very easy to make an emotional investment in. And at the end of the day, that's something all fans want. I want the sense that, all right, I'll give you my time. I'll give you my money. I'll lend you my voice during games, but I got to see it being repaid. And every night at the ACC so far, it's been repaid. I mean, that game against Chicago, that was the Bulls. The Bulls are a handful. I still think they are the best team in the conference, and I think they might be the best team in the league. But Raptors showed a lot last night. They showed an awful lot last night. Victor and Milton, here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Did you like the Vince Carter tribute? And can we finally, Victor, can we finally close the book on Vince Carter and the Raptors?
You know what? It closed the book, but it does something for me personally. There have been two polarizing figures that have done a lot, if not more, for the sports franchise, and that has been getting a lot of criticism. And Vince Carter was the last and second and last one. The first one was Tito Gaston. And, you know, he's gotten his due, and I'm happy about that.
Yep.
But Vince Carter was the one that I was like, it broke my heart. It broke my heart because here's the thing. I'll echo a lot of the sentiments of what the last caller said. If you're going to chalk it up to immaturity, like, what excuse do you give the franchise? Those are big, grown-ass men that are businessmen that should understand what legacy means.
Mm-hmm.
If Carter goes into the Hall of Fame, I mean, he can only wear one cap. But if we don't mend this fence, we talk about getting respect in the NBA, guess what will be? The laughing stock. You know, so this was absolutely necessary. And the other thing, there was a lot of politics. Like, there's no such thing in my mind as sports journalism anymore. Anybody worth their salt, if you call yourself a journalist, all you have to do is dig into that story, except how many years did it take? What's his name? The last guy that did the symposium on Grange.
Mm-hmm.
He did it, like, after all these years, 10 years later?
Mm-hmm.
There should have been someone digging a long time ago and get this out there so it doesn't get as bad as it did.
Yeah,
so,
you know, Victor... Yeah, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing that everybody was fighting against. And it wasn't just, and I wasn't, like I said, I made this point yesterday. I was following the Raptors as a fan, as a basketball fan back then. I was writing baseball and covering baseball. But it's very easy, and it was very easy back then. And frankly, it's still pretty easy in a lot of ways to buy into the notion that nobody wants to come to Toronto, that free agents don't want to come here in any sport, regardless of the sport. I mean, the fact is hockey free agents don't want to come here. David Clarkson came here because he was given an obscene amount of money. But this is not a preferred destination for hockey players. It's not a preferred destination for baseball players. That's still really not a preferred destination for most basketball players. But let me finish, Victor. But the thing is, that's fine. I'll let you finish too. But every departure, and Vince's was one of them, it was viewed as a betrayal by fans. It was easy to paint it as a betrayal by fans. And you know what? Organizations will do that. Organizations will use the media. They will play on the sentiment of the fan base. It was easy for the Raptors to say, hey, look at this big shot. He stiffed us. And then look at this thing with his mother. Do you believe his mother wanted a parking spot? I'm one of the people. I don't think it was 50-50. I think the problems with Vince and the Raptors were about 92-8, with 92% of that being the Raptors.
Jeff, your last point summed up my point. Sometimes we think the media... is got so much power, but a lot of the time they get manipulated and duped by the franchises, and that's what I'm thinking. There's a lot of politics happening, and you stated just perfectly, we got duped. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And that not that's just the way it is. It's, we're still conditioned to think of Toronto. I mean, I saw this in Montreal with the Expos, man. The Expos used to use players all the time, lose players all the time. I can remember the Journal de Montréal. They would do a two-page story anytime a baseball player came to Montreal and said, hey, this play is bad. I kind of like it. Women are nice. That Shea Perret play, that Shea Perret place is pretty nice. Boom, full story. John Smoltz loves Montreal. I mean, we have this sense of almost an inferiority complex. It's too easy to describe it We just have this sense of, and as much as we say we don't have it, we have the sense of wanting Americans to like us and American athletes to like us. We still judge ourselves as sports fans according to how we are perceived by American athletes. That's still ongoing, but it was really pronounced back then. And it was also pronounced back then because I think a lot of people looked at the Raptors as being kind of a standalone item. The difference now is basketball is so firmly entrenched in Canada. Canada's about basketball. Basketball is the growth sport. It ain't hockey. I mean, I go to my daughter's high school. Hockey's not the growth sport. Basketball's a growth sport. Basketball's very much a part of Canada. The sport has roots now. And I don't know if it had those roots back then. Vince established it, but I don't know if we'd seen sort of the offspring of the Vince Carter era like we're seeing now. There's more of a sense of permanence to basketball in Canada than there was back then. Back then, it was easy to say, hey, Vince, big-time American star, doesn't like Toronto, weather's too cold, he's going elsewhere. It was an easy narrative to fall into. George in North York, you're on the Jeff Blair Show. I thought that was handled well last night. What do you think?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, the video montage was great, just showing all his dunks from that 1 year. Yeah, for sure. But I was at the game, and I got to tell you, Jeff, honestly, half the people at the game, they were so corporate. I sent out a tweet while I was at the game. I don't think I included you in it. I think I sent it to Sid. I'm sorry. That they didn't even know, like, a lot of the people didn't know. Oh, they're like, oh, Vince Carter? Oh, yeah. Like, they didn't know that he...
You know what? I'll tell you where we're sitting, in where the press seats are. We're in that... we're up at the back. We're in kind of that... I'm going to do a crappy job of describing this. But we're sort of near the one level of... Section 116 and 17. So we're in the corner there. So we're not in with the platinum types, right? We're sitting with we're sitting there with, you know, the couples, the guys, the young guys who were there. They were noisy and they were all standing and they were all cheering. And I'll tell you what, there was more than one Vince Carter jersey in that crowd.
And they were cheering. I just, you know, when he touched the ball, they booed. And when he made a big three in the third, they booed. So
that's cool.
That's cool. I think during the two-minute montage, and it wasn't that long, I didn't believe them. I thought they were crocodile tears. I did believe that all that was fake, because I think that, you know, I don't know, some of your previous callers are like, well, we dropped the ball too. No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all.
Yeah,
we treated the guy like a god.
You know, you guys did.
We treated the guy Vernon Wells-esque, and it was just like, let's skip town. That's why.
Yeah, but George, here's the thing. You treated him like that. Toronto Raptors fans treated him like that. George, I'm sorry. I think we know too much about it now to go down that route. There's a lot of blame here. You know, and I've got to tell you, I mean, I've covered a lot of sports. When you see a divorce between an athlete and an organization that gets messy, you'd be surprised how often the organization is much more at fault than the player. It doesn't always get written about and it doesn't always get said because you're a reporter. Vince is leaving town. The Raptors are still here. Who are you going to deal with? Whose side are you going to take? Guys who are going to be here, the guys you're going to have to work with next week, or the guys in New Jersey? There's an aspect of that when these things happen. But I've seen a lot of athletes leave teams where it's painted like, oh my God, the guy couldn't get out of town. Larry Walker, the Montreal Expos, Larry Walker, guy from Western Canada, hated French Canadians, couldn't wait to get out of town, signed with Colorado as a free agent. Oh, by the way, nobody mentions that Larry Walker went into the Expos in his final year, the final year of his contract, and said, you know what? I really like what's happening here. Let's see if we can get something done. Let's see if we can get something done. I want to stay here for 3 or 4 years. That never came out. It was just Larry Walker wanted the hell out of Montreal. I truly believe this. When there is a divorce between a player and a team like that, most of the time, the team is at fault. Not always. I'm not saying always. A lot of times it's the agent, the handler, and indeed the player who create the issue. But the vast majority of times, it's the team. Thing you got to remember, teams control the ball when it comes to player-team relations most of the time. The only time the player has the ball is when he's a free agent. Teams can manage a player's approach to free agency. They can manage the free agent period. There are very few times in a player's career where he has the hammer. More often than not, the team has the hammer, and you've got to use it right. And the Raptors didn't use it right with Vince Carter. The majority of the blame for that situation lies with the organization over the player. There is a terrific story in the Columbus Dispatch this morning. I retweeted it from Aaron Portsline, who covers the Columbus Blue Jackets. Jack Johnson, the defenseman, has filed for bankruptcy. Now, he isn't the first athlete to file for bankruptcy, although the fact he's doing it at such a young age is really obscene. There is a twist to this story that is, as a parent, just absolutely sickens you and rips your heart out. The bankruptcy of Jack Johnson, according to this story, was caused by the financial irresponsibility of his parents. Now, believe it or not, you've got to find this story. You've got to read it. It is sad. Garrett Joyce is a features editor with Sportsnet magazine. He has covered the NHL and junior hockey extensively. And oh yeah, Garrett Joyce knows a little bit about Jack Johnson Sr. So Garrett Joyce will join the Jeff Blair Show at 10:40.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, will join us at 11 o'clock. We're going to take your calls as we await the official announcement of Russ Martin's signing this afternoon. I'll be doing some TV with Zahn and Campbell during the news conference. And we'll ask you, what do you need to hear from Alex Anthopoulos today when he makes his first public comments since the Russ Martin signing? We'll take your calls on that in the 11 o'clock hour after John Gibbons. And then at 11:40, this is kind of cool. It's a great get by Travis McKenzie, my producer. A lot of you out there probably don't even know that Russ Martin and Jose Bautista were teammates at Chipola Junior College in Florida. The head coach at Chipola is Jeff Johnson. He's been there for 18 years. He will join us at 11:40. Russell Martin had his uniform number retired last year at Chipola, so it's kind of a cool story, and it's always kind of neat to get a sense of what a guy was like when he was in college. And that was kind of Russell's first sort of, I guess after the national program, Chipola was sort of his first real taste of sustained, big time college competition. And Chipola, even though it's a junior college, that's a That's a pretty serious. It's a pretty serious baseball program. So that'll be a lot of fun. Jeff Johnson, 11:40. But before we deal with the baseball, every now and then you run into a story, and as a reporter, you read the story, and your first reaction is, "I can't believe how much work dude had to put into writing this thing." Well, second reaction is apparent to this particular story, the story of Jack Johnson and how, at the age of 27, he's burned through more than $18 million and is bankrupt. As a parent, you read this story and it leaves a pit in your stomach. Summing up the story, written by Aaron Portzline in the Columbus Dispatch, Jack Johnson, 27-year-old defenseman of the Columbus Blue Jackets, he's made more than $18 million during his nine-year NHL career. He has $50,000 worth of assets right now. He's burnt through $18 million. Most of it appears, after he fired his agent, Pat Brisson, and turned financial control over to his mother. And his mother and his father, Jack Johnson Sr., in court documents, have basically blown through $18 million of the kid's money. It is a sad story. It's a frustrating story. It makes you want to grab Jack Johnson Sr. and Tina Johnson. And I'm not even going to go there. Garrett Joyce is a features editor for Sportsnet Magazine. You can follow him at Garrett Joyce NHL. On Twitter, Garrett Joyce knows a little bit about the story. And, Garrett, I understand that you know a little bit about Jack Johnson Sr., Dancing Jack.
Dancing Jack, yeah. It's funny. The book that I wrote years back, Future Greats and Heartbreaks, about the draft classes of 05 and 06 and 07, Jack was up there in the 05 class. I actually spent a full night, overnight up till dawn, all jet lagged with Jack Johnson Sr. And I mean, I think charitably, I would describe him as a train wreck. when I read Aaron's story, which is amazingly well researched, you know, could I say that I was shocked? I don't think so. I mean, when Jack Johnson went to college, Dad went with him. You know, like it was not a natural relationship that he had with his father. His mother, I met her. I didn't get to know her quite as well. But I look back at a letter I sent to my editor from the World Juniors back then, and I said that, you know, Jack Johnson going to college would be a great story, but maybe a movie with Rodney Dangerfield or Will Ferrell playing Mr. Johnson. He's a cartoon character.
It really, you know, and again, these are all, this story is a reported story. There are court documents that attest to this, so we've got to say it's still right now. This is reported, but man, you know, to go from Pat Brisson and whatever people may think about agents. Look, we've dealt with agents throughout our career, and people always roll their eyes when I say, by and large, I mean, yeah, I've met some scumbags, but by and large, guys, my rule of thumb is if your clients are smart guys, like if you're representing Sidney Crosby and Jonathan Toews, you're probably a decent guy, because Sidney Crosby and Jonathan Toews aren't jack wagons. They're pretty smart guys. So to get rid of Pat Brisson as your agent and essentially let mom and dad hook you up with, you know, Fly By Night Consultants Incorporated, which is essentially what happened here, just a remarkably short-sighted decision. But Garrett, more than anything else, it made me really, I felt bad for Jack Johnson Jr. that, you know, he didn't talk to somebody before doing this, you know, a teammate. I don't know. A coach probably wouldn't be the way, but surely he would have talked to a teammate, and one of his teammates must have said, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, Jack Johnson always struck me as awfully young for his age.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, you know. It's funny because, I went back when I read this and went to my notes, like not just what I wrote in the book, but things that I had sent off to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I found that, not that Jack Johnson was a perpetual adolescent, but that his father was,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I mean, it's hard to be the grown-up in a relationship when you have, like, childlike parents, you know? I mean, when Jack was at World Juniors, it was like his parents were on spring break, and they had Jack's little brother with him, and he was off, like, I mean, he was 8, 9 years old. He was off playing by himself at the hotel while his parents were just getting, you know,
mm-hmm.
are drinking pails, right? It really staggers belief that you would drop, to drop an agent for another agent, or to say to your agent, I want to get financial advice from an outside party rather than you. I think all of those are reasonable responses. Jack Johnson Sr. used to present himself as a businessman, although he was always sort of vague about what he did and,
mm-hmm.
you know, leaving a job to go be with his son at Shattuck or at Michigan. Like, you have to be with your son when he's playing NC2A hockey. I guess the idea he was a guy who made a small fortune out of a big fortune.
Right.
And now he took a small fortune that his son's earnings are in and dialed it down to below zero.
Gare, what's the message in this? I mean, every story like this, we like to think has a moral. What's the moral of this story? What's the message here?
Oh, boy. The one thing I would say, I don't know that there's a moral to the story, but the absolute fact is that this goes on a lot more than you might know. I'm actually working with an ex-NHLer right now who went through, not this, because he was smart, but he had to disconnect himself from his parents, mm-hmm. for reasons that, you know, he didn't want to be the golden goose, right?
Right.
It was really troubling, and he would be no better off than Jack Johnson is today. And he'd probably be worse off than Jack Johnson is today if he had let his parents run his life. I don't know if you know this, but we dealt with a guy who was a defenseman on the Canadiens, whose name we won't reveal.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know it, I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
But, he had to, his father got a hold of his Amex Platinum card and spent them down to zero in Vegas.
Wow.
Right? It's out there. This happened. Is there a lesson that NHLers can take away from this? I don't know. I sort of think the smart ones don't need this lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jack Johnsons of the world are going to think that theirs is always the exception. You know, that, oh, yeah, don't let your folks, you know, tie into a power of attorney or anything like that. But mine are okay. Just don't let yours. Mm-hmm. Right? There isn't going to be a takeaway from this. From those who really need the lesson.
Garrett, it was great of you to join us today. Like I said, this is a fascinating and really sad story, and I look forward to your work in that other story.
Yeah, excellent.
Be in touch. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Garrett Joyce is features editor of Sportsnet magazine. You can follow him at Garrett Joyce NHL. He's, I don't know how many people know as much about, like, Garrett Joyce and Merrick. You put them together in a room, and it's like the entire junior hockey encyclopedia, the Western world. Their knowledge of the ins and outs of junior hockey, the world around junior hockey, agents, parents, coaches. is pretty remarkable. We appreciate Garrett joining us again. Aaron Portsline, I've tweeted out a link to it. I did it earlier in the day. Aaron Portsline, the Columbus Dispatch, with a terrific job of unearthing the various layers to the Jack Johnson story. So, 2 o'clock today, the Jays will unveil Russ Martin in a news conference, which we will carry live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and across the Sportsnet family television stations. John Gibbons is manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll get his reaction to the signing of Russell Martin, and we'll take your calls. Want to know from you, what do you need to hear from Alex Anthopoulos today in his first comments since the Russell Martin signing? Do you need to hear him say, I'm bringing in John Lester and Pablo Sandoval? Do you need to hear him say, I'm going to go get a second baseman? What do you need to hear Alex Anthopoulos say today in his first comments since the Russell Martin signing? John Gibbons will join us. We'll take your calls. And then Jeff Johnson, he coached Russ Martin and Jose Bautista. Same time, same team, Chipola Junior College in Florida. He'll join us at 11:40. Lots of baseball talk ahead on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.